Thank you, Kit, Sherry, Susan, Cindy. It's truly a wonderful experience to be here at Unity of Wimberley today. And there's a part of me that isn't surprised that I'm here, because what you may or may not know is I've been following Reverend Ellen for years. Not in that sort of creepy make the news kind of way. But it was very interesting. I don't know if you know this about her story. She started at Unity, at First Unity of St. Petersburg. I served at Unity at first, served in Unity, First Unity of St. Petersburg. And then she went to Fairfax with her job. And then I went to Fairfax with my job. And then she went to school and came here, and now here I am. She is truly an accomplished leader within our movement and someone who has inspired me and thousands of others in the Unity movement. So you are so blessed and so fortunate to have such a competent professional as your leader. And I'm just so grateful that I was invited to be a part of her sabbatical series and to share some ideas and some thoughts and to bring to remembrance what we already know to be true. There is a line in the famous classic of Chinese literature, the Tao Te Ching, that says, "Who by their own effort can make muddy water clear? But if left alone, it will become clear of its own accord." You know something about muddy water. Maybe a little too much about muddy water. But oftentimes our lives become muddied. We get into this frenzy of busyness as human beings, and we have so many things we have to do. We have to take care of the kids. We have to take care of our mates. We have to take care of the pets. We have to take care of the yard. We have to take care of work. Oh, yes, there's work. We have to take care of the texts and the emails and the Instagrams and the Facebooks. We have to take care of everything that we've recorded on our DVRs because we can record 6 channels at once. And we find ourselves going in this cycle, in this spiral, and we just get caught up in what can only be called an addiction of busyness. And maybe I'm simply projecting inappropriately onto you, but you might know somebody who's like this, who gets caught up in creation of the muddy water of life. And there is a yearning we have as human beings for rest, for renewal, for regeneration. And sometimes we don't know how to make that happen. We sometimes even question if we should make it happen, as we live in a culture that by and large encourages us to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. Think about some of the most popular television shows that we watch. A lot of times medical dramas or police dramas, and these people are working all the time, working all the time, working all the time, working all the time. And there's a subtle message that's conveyed to us that says there's something glamorous about working all the time. It's about as glamorous as a heart attack, right? Which is how you get in one of those medical shows where you're working all the time, working all the time. But there is ancient wisdom that is available to us, and you know what it is. It's called the taking of a Sabbath. Now, we don't use that word a whole lot these days in our modern terminology. We use a lot of different words, rest, renewal, retreat, and that sort of thing. But I like the word Sabbath. And I like what it implies once you get past the baggage. Now, I know many of you probably experience the word Sabbath in a more, I might say, traditional or conservative point of view. And you know what I'm talking about. That's the one with the rules. The rule. No dancing and no music. I'm just going to pick on you because you're like, no dancing. Don't go see movies. Close all the shopping centers. Close the malls. There are just some things you can't do. And that's just within the Christian tradition. Within Judaism, there are over 39 specific Sabbath prohibitions. And maybe in your own family, you had some Sabbath prohibitions, things you don't do. And unfortunately, what can happen for us as human beings, we get caught up in the rule and miss the intentionality behind the rule. It was very interesting. I was thinking about this. I had the occasion to live abroad for a time, and the heels are awful. I mean, That's a joke. Don't laugh at that. Just testing the waters, folks. I'm just testing the waters. Yeah. How much can we push here? But I had occasion to live abroad. I lived in Europe. I lived in the little country of Luxembourg. And I remembered that on Sundays, things were closed. And it seemed very odd to me because it wasn't like that where I grew up. And there was a part of me that so appreciated it. And you would see families on walks. You'd see children playing in the fields. There was just this lower vibration of energy that felt very restful and very peaceful. And it left a mark. This was even before I had found Unity or even started attending any manner of a faith community at all. And I thought, there's something to this. And I kind of filed it away. I was a young man, and drinking was more important than resting at that point. I'm just telling it how it is. But there is something to that. Something beautiful and very warm. And so I wondered if other faith traditions have Sabbath practices that might be helpful for us. And as I mentioned, Judaism has 39 traditional Sabbath prohibitions, but the Jewish Sabbath generally Friday night into Saturday, and there are various rituals around that, very beautiful rituals, candle lighting before dinner and the prayers. Hinduism has so many gods and goddesses, it doesn't have a particular Sabbath or a particular day off. Within Buddhist tradition, since every day is holy, there's no reason to have a particular holy day, but they have any number of set-aside days for holiness. In Islam, there many of the faithful will take part of a day like on Friday or part of a day on Saturday. But it's a very interesting difference between the Quranic teaching of Sabbath and what we have in our Judeo-Christian Bible, in the sense that in Quran, on the sixth day, Allah mounted his throne to oversee creation. There was no need to rest. It's a different sort of an experience. But for those of us who grew up in a Judeo-Christian culture, overlay culture anyway, there's two different ways in which we experience Sabbath. There's God's Sabbath, and then there's yours. Genesis 2 talks about that on the seventh day, God finished his work and rested. Creating the universe, I can imagine, must be a very tiresome job. I know how much work it takes for me just to clean my house. I can't imagine creating the entire universe. But then we find in what we call the Ten Commandments, the requirement, the order to rest. And it's very interesting about the Ten Commandments. And many Unity and New Thought teachers have interpreted them in a variety of different ways, because we know you could even interpret a McDonald's menu and still come up with something meaningful out of it. It's true. You know, you think about it. So just a segue for a moment. So you think about it, there's Ronald McDonald, who's kind of like the supreme deity, and then you have the lesser deities like Hamburglar and some of the others. And then you find the gifts of the creator, the Big Mac and the big meals. They cost more money. And then if you want a little grace, you could just buy a side item off the menu. And it could work. I wouldn't really do that from a platform. I would be drummed out. So nobody's at the drums. I think we're good. But when we think about the commandments given in our scriptures, eight of them are negative prohibitions, things not to do. Don't have gods before me, don't worship idols, don't take the Lord's name in vain, don't commit murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, and don't covet anything that is not yours. There's one that's written in the affirmative. Honor your mother and father, which we might say, we might interpret as to honor those masculine and feminine elements in yourself and give them life and form. But that's a different talk for a different day. And then we come to the one about the Sabbath. And it goes like this: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's the only one that starts with the word remember. It's almost as if the scriptural inspiration understands that in our humanity, we have the capacity and the possibility of forgetting something that is so elemental and necessary for our well-being. Think about the times when you've been so busy. Many of you may have already found yourself working yourself to a point of exhaustion. because there was a forgetting, a fundamental forgetting of a true necessity for living a vibrant and healthy life. It's called balance. I'm a Libra, I know about this. Balance. Balancing rest and activity. And so we have this reminder buried deep in the ancient wisdom of our faith traditions to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember to rest. Again, think about this dis-ease of busyness we have. And think about the pressures we have to stay busy. I often have occasion to do interviewing. Not that I'm that hard to work for, but it's just kind of happened that way. Different talk for different day. And one of the standard questions that I often give, and I've been given myself in interviews, how do you handle multitasking? And again, it's a very subtle way of saying, how busy can you be and still get things done? It's not a healthy question. And the stock answer, if you're asked this in an interview, I do one thing at a time well, but I can do many things in quick succession. So we can only do one thing at a time. Again, there's this notion of this busyness. We must remember to take time to be holy, take time to be still, take time to rest, take time to nourish our souls, because the paradox is that when we do that, we can be far more effective in our work. It's like that quote of Martin Luther, he said, I have so much to do today, I need to spend an extra hour in prayer. You might be curious, though, just as a matter of fact, is why is it that that Jewish people observe the Sabbath on Friday night, Saturday, and Christians observe on Sunday? Because I love history, and I love the facts, and I love to understand the backstory of how did we get to where we are, because history is important. I don't know if you've done a course lately in the development of Christian thought and history, but there was a council in the year 363, maybe 364, the Common Era, at Laodicea, which is in Turkey today. It was called Asia Minor at the time, when 30 bishops from the area were gathered together. Now, granted, you must remember that the Christian tradition didn't emerge fully formed. It evolved and is still evolving in its various branches. And they created several rules for the life of those who are going to be participants in the Christian movement. And one of them, rule number 29, said that Christians must not live according to Jewish customs by resting on the Jewish Sabbath, but must work on that day and in its place honor the Lord's Day and rest then as Christians. Lord's Day being Sunday, because that was the day of the resurrection. But if any shall be found to be Judaizers, namely following Jewish customs, let them be anathema from Christ. Let them be excommunicated. A little bit of history for you. We don't have to make it wrong or bad. We don't have to, like, all of a sudden call Reverend Allen and say, next week's service is on Friday night. We're going back. No, but it's just interesting to understand the history. So the question for us then is, how do we do Sabbath? What does it mean, especially if you grew up being told, here are the rules, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't do that. How do we make a meaningful Sabbath experience? I'd like to share with you a story about somebody who was, following Jewish custom, and this is a story told about Jesus, who would have been excommunicated from the church had the bishops known what he was doing. Here's a story I want to share from Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to read from the Message version of the Bible. This is the one written in 20th century English. It's very modern, very hip, very now, very current. It's very, it's very 15 years ago, but it's still one of my favorite translations because we can hear it and we can get the tenor. And this is Mark chapter 2. I just have 85 verses. We'll be quick. One Sabbath day, he was walking through the field of ripe grain. As his disciples made a path, they pulled off the heads of the grain. The Pharisees told on them to Jesus and said, "Look, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath rules." And Jesus said, "Really?" Have you ever read what David did when he was hungry and those with him were hungry? How he entered the sanctuary and ate the fresh bread right off the altar with the chief priest Abiathar right there watching. Holy bread, but no one but the priests were allowed to eat, and handed it out to his companions. Then Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made to serve us. We weren't made to serve the Sabbath. The Son of Man is no lackey to the Sabbath. He's in charge." This is a very brilliant rhetorical device that the author of Mark used, because by invoking the name of Israel's great king, he put the Pharisees on edge, because if they were to say the greatest king did something wrong, their reputations were on the line, and he would not be worthy. And so Jesus was making a point that that greatness that King David modeled, we can model. And when he talks about the Son of Man is no lackey to the Sabbath, he's in charge, then we, as 21st century metaphysicians, understand that to mean he's talking about that Christ spirit within, that divinity within us all. It's not to be subject to rules of the Sabbath, but actually to engage the Sabbath in a meaningful and healthy way so that our lives might be full, or as it says in John 10, so that we might have life and have it abundantly. So the question, therefore, for us is, what is Christ's spirit within? What is that living spirit of truth within us calling us to do and to experience so that we might have a Sabbath that nourishes us with holiness? The bread was on the holy altar. And what the story is telling us is, nourish yourselves with holiness, with peacefulness, that will allow you to be in charge and have a full and abundant life. Well, there are any number of things that we can do. Any number of things. But first of all, we have to be willing to engage in the process of resting and in the practice of restoring and renewing our souls, and experiment with things that allow us to be nourished. One thing we could do is not turn our cell phones back on when we leave here. And there are many customs and many things that people do very intentionally and with great regularity, such as deciding to start with just an hour of silence and restfulness. For just an hour, I'm going to put my phone down. I'm going to turn the computer off. Or maybe a couple hours, or maybe a few days. Or maybe I'm going to decide that my Sabbath will be 2 hours this week walking in the woods, very intentionally leaving behind what I could be doing, should be doing, would be doing. Or maybe we take a whole day, and our day is simply planned to be delightful, where we choose to spend time with our loved ones, our friends, our families, preferably without electronic media. Maybe so. How does this muddy water of our lives become clear unless we give it time to clear itself? We talk in New Thought so often about our lives of prayer and meditation and practice. And yet the pull away from ourselves to engagement with something is so strong that we need to remind ourselves that we have the power within to resist the pull. One of the things that's really exciting and I think beautiful about people who have a regular Sabbath practice is that they understand one very important thing: that Sabbath dissolves the artificial urgency of our days, because it allows us to be liberated from the fact that we need to finish anything. Many of us think, I have to answer the email, I have to answer the phone call, I have to return the messages, I have to. You don't have to. Because the world will continue to turn. And as we get into the habit of honoring our need for rest, we realize we don't have to finish everything today. Because to everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. We've been told often that the idle hands are the devil's playthings. We've been told an idle mind is the same thing. But these are fallacies. Born of a need to accomplish something all the time, we don't have to. The great spiritual teachers and masters have all invited us to remember to rest. We'll do that now as we move into a time of meditation. And we'll spend a little more time than maybe you normally do in engaging in a process of mindfulness. Many of you may be familiar with a mindfulness practice. What the Sabbath does is allow us to become mindful of what's happening in our world, both the inner world and the outer world. Sabbath allows us to develop and discern and recognize the peace that passes understanding, so that we know clearly what's ours to do something about and what's ours to leave alone so it might clear itself. So as you're comfortable and able, I invite you to close your eyes or simply lower your gaze and focus on a spot a few feet in front of you. You may wish to plant your feet firmly in the floor and imagine tendrils of roots connecting you to the vibration of life that is Mother Earth herself. And rest your hands wherever it's comfortable for you, perchance on your lap, or maybe holding a particular mudra if that's appropriate for you. We begin by taking a deep and gentle breath in and letting it go with a sigh. You may wish to take a second or a third and just allow your shoulders to droop. And if there's any place where you're feeling tension in your body, just affirm to yourself, peace, be still. And as we spend some time together, you'll be aware of sounds in the room. Maybe the expansion and contraction of the roof, or the piano, a nearby gurgling stomach. We just acknowledge sound. We don't need to make it change or stop or go away. These are just the sounds of life. So we acknowledge life and sound. And I invite you to take stock of the temperature in the room. It may be cool to you, it may be warm, it may be just right. If you desire a change, just know that it'll change soon. We can step outside. But for a few moments, we're just going to acknowledge temperature and let it be okay. And you may become aware of some degree of luminescence if your eyes are open or closed. And we just call that luminescence. There's nothing to do about it. Just notice it and let it go. You may be aware of thoughts crossing your mind. Thoughts about this service. Thoughts about your grocery list. Thoughts about something that happened 30 years ago. They just come and they go. And so rather than trying to stop them or make them go away, we just acknowledge thoughts. And they'll play like a computer program running in the background, so we just let them play and let them be. And sometimes when we're in the stillness of contemplation and meditation, feelings will emerge, feelings of joy or feelings of sadness. Let them come and just notice feelings. We just have feelings. And all these things together remind us that we are living, vibrant, individualized expressions of the life of God. And again, we come back to our breathing. And I invite you to just notice that when you're breathing in, you're breathing in. And when you're breathing out, you're breathing out. The wonderful thing about our breathing is that it's automatic. We don't need to be mindful of it. It just happens because life just happens. So for a few moments now, we'll move into a period of sacred and holy silence together, where we will, for a few moments, have our own mini Sabbath. A period that we experience the grace of life in community and sacredness. And so as we begin to return to the conscious awareness of this room and this time, we take another deep and gentle breath. As with gratitude, we give thanks for this period of respite and renewal, regeneration. We celebrate and give thanks for the fact that at any time, we can become still and allow the waters of our lives to become clear. through a moment or a day of Sabbath. Peace be with you, and namaste. Hallelujah.